This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Indeed. Want your quality shortlist fast? You need Indeed. Right now, our listeners can get a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/creative. This episode is also sponsored by Skillshare. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/AC and get a free trial of premium membership. That's skillshare.com/AC. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. It is 2021. We officially made it. Congratulations, you are here. And now we have to figure out a path forward. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including the new book, The Motivation Code, available now wherever books are sold or at motivationcode.com. And on these next couple of episodes, we're going to be talking about leadership. Now, listen, I know some of you, when you hear the word leadership, you think, well, that's not me because I don't have an organizational position where I have to lead. That's not true. If you serve clients, if you have customers, if you're in any capacity interacting with other people, you have a responsibility to lead those people. If that's leading them to the right solution, great. If that's leading them to help them understand their business better, fantastic. That's wonderful. Your job is to lead other people. And so on the next couple of episodes, we're going to talk about leading in the midst of uncertainty and specifically the uncertain times that we're in right now. And we're going to do that by, first of all, talking with David Berkus. David is a friend of the podcast and he has a new book out. It's called Leading from Anywhere. He's going to talk about how we deal with some of the remote dynamics that we're experiencing right now. This is, as we've talked about many times, this is not a new thing. This is an accelerated thing. The pandemic really sort of accelerated some trends that were already, you know, in process. And so we're going to talk about what it means to lead from anywhere today with David Berkus. Before we do, a couple of things. First of all, we're doing another round of Creative Leader Roundtables. This is a 3-session workshop where I spend time online with a handful of people. We talk about leadership dynamics. We talk about how to lead in the midst of uncertainty. I answer questions as well. So I come prepared with topics, but we also do a Q&A session. We have group breakouts. You can talk with fellow leaders about things that you're wrestling with. And in between Q&A sessions where I answer any questions that weren't addressed in the midst of the workshop itself. So if you'd like to be a part of that 3-session workshop, it kicks off on January 29th. Go to creativeleaderroundtable.com. We have a handful of seats still available. So if you want to join us, visit creativeleaderroundtable.com to jump in. Also, today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. So listen, no matter what 2021 brings, you can spend it creating something meaningful with Skillshare's online classes because time is what we make of it, right? With Skillshare, you can find inspiration in the moment and learn how to express your creativity. Well, listen, maybe this is the year you say, I'm finally going to get my systems in place. I'm finally going to get productive. Well, Skillshare has a ton of classes about productivity. For example, real productivity, how to build habits that last. Productivity with Evernote, use one app for everything. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful thing to use one tool for everything? Well, you can take a class that will help you organize your world in Evernote. Simple productivity, how to accomplish more with less by Greg McKeown, who wrote Essentialism, one of my favorite books. So Skillshare has a class that can help you accomplish your goals in 2021, whatever those goals are, whether it's exploring creativity, getting more productive, amping up your business, whatever it is, you can find a class that will help you do it. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning, with so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. But listen, you don't have to worry about that because if you explore your creativity at skillshare.com/AC, you can get a free trial of premium membership. That's skillshare.com/AC to get a free trial of premium membership. Explore your creativity with Skillshare. Make this the year that you go to the next level. We thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have back on the show today, David Berkus. David is the author of a bunch of books, and his new book is called Leading from Anywhere. We're going to talk about this, but this is a very, very appropriate book for this time. David, welcome back to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Man, Todd, thank you so much for having me. One of the OG podcasters. it's always fun to talk to the hang out with you. I wanted to call the book Herding Tigers, but they told me that one was taken. So I had to go to something that felt, you know, managing remote work sort of feels like it too. But I think your title works a bit more for managing creatives and herding tigers. But
so I see that you got that really nice letter from the legal department at Penguin Random House. Yeah, that's great. Hey, I'm really excited to talk about this book with you because I know you've been studying this topic for a long time. And I know this book also kind of just came up very quickly for you. I think if I'm not mistaken, like you basically agreed to write this book and wrote this book and are releasing this book in like 6 months. Is that right? Something crazy like that?
6 months and 3 days from the signing of the contract to the release of the book. The actual sort of first draft was about 8 weeks, but it's also one of those things where sort of lifetime to prepare, right?
Of course.
A lot of the companies and the ideas that I profiled in Under New Management, which is came out about 4 years ago, were remote companies or companies that had a more flexible policy towards the office than what we all think of when we think of the, you know, the office or office space or things like that. So the movement towards flexibility was already happening. COVID sort of accelerated that. And so when that, when all of that happened by June, by late May, early June, when it became obvious that, 15 days to flatten the curve wasn't everybody work from home for 2 weeks, but we're going to go through a really long tunnel that we are only now seeing the light at the end of. And it's still it's a very faint light, I'll be honest. When all of that became apparent, we started getting into conversations with my publisher about, okay, well, can we, what material, what research do we already have? What companies do you already know? Can we get something out there to meet this need quickly? And so that's been my lockdown project, right? Newton discovered calculus. I just wrote a book. I think he still wins, but that's been the lockdown project, is trying to help other people and especially other teams cope with this idea, because even when it's safe to go back to work, we're not all going back to the office at the same time, and we're not all going to be there as much as we were before. So pretty much everybody has to think of themselves as a leader of a remote team now. Even if you get to see your people a couple times a week, they'll still be working a significant amount of their week from somewhere other than right in front of you.
All right, so I want to talk about that, because I hear that often, that you know, COVID didn't really change things. It just accelerated things that were already happening. And I believe that's true. And I definitely think the move to remote work has been a trend that's been happening for a while. And now, hey, in 2 weeks, we all have to figure out how to do this semi-permanently, you know, for at least for the next year plus. What effects, I mean, we feel the effects, but I think sometimes it takes somebody like you who studies these things to really give us terminology to help us describe what it is we're experiencing, what we're feeling. What effects does this sudden shift to remote work have on the culture of a team? What are some of the things that you're seeing that we're probably experiencing, but we don't have words for right now?
Yeah. So the two biggest hurdles, and actually there's some good research on this from BC before Corona, right? On when you move to a virtual team or a cross-functional team or a global team, right? All slightly different variations, but the idea being we're not working all together all of the time. The two biggest things that happen to what we could call team culture are a degradation or a decline in shared understanding and shared identity. And those are two different things. Shared understanding is how much I have an idea of your knowledge, skills, abilities, work preferences, how you like to receive feedback, how you ask for help so that I know what's actually a request for help and what's actually just sort of socialization. And especially right now, I think the context people are working in is a huge part of shared understanding, right? Like, so we're recording this. I'm lucky enough to be in the basement of my house in an office and sort of a studio that I set up for myself that's quite far away from my 8-year-old and 6-year-old. But for a lot of people, this, you know, 2 weeks was, okay, well, I'll go buy a folding screen at Home Depot and put it across the corner of my dining room because I just have to survive for 2 weeks. Then it turned into 9 months, and that's been my office for that long. And so letting teams understand the context that people are working in or the life demands that mean the normal 8-to-5 responsiveness that they used to put up with isn't there anymore. Now, all of those things contribute to shared understanding. It's something that we normally develop accidentally when we're co-located that we need to be much more deliberate about. And the shared identity piece has to do with whether or not I feel like I'm a member of this specific team. I think This is probably less of a now hurdle and more of an as people start to come back to the office, because they'll be coming back at different rates and everyone's going to have a different preference for how much time they spend at the office. The us versus them that used to maybe be departmental might actually become co-located versus remote workers. So us is the people I can see all the time, and them is the people I only see at the monthly all hands meeting or something like that. So shared understanding, shared identity are those two pieces of a culture that often get built accidentally, that really nobody thought to pick them up and bring them away from the office when we did the Zoom contract thing, right? We got figured out what tools people needed technology wise. And we never actually thought about, like, oh, we're going to need a new way to develop shared understanding and shared identity. We may not even had terms for it, but like you said, we felt it when things started to degrade as a team.
You know, it's a weird thing to consider that when someone, and I know you've been in these meetings, I've been in the meetings where, you know, a huge imposing figure in an organization walks into the room. Like, I've been, you know, led sessions for, you know, Fortune 20 companies, and like the CEO of the company walks into the room and there's a palpable sense of presence when that person walks in, right? Whoever it happens to be. It's different online. You know, it's a different vibe. Like when you're looking at people on a video screen and you can see their cat jumping on the table behind them and their kids are like tugging at their, there's a different thing that happens when we're remote. And what do you think that this world of remote work is going to do to our perception of authority and power structures in organizations, and how we all sort of communicate and collaborate in light of authority and responsibility? Are you seeing any effects on that right now?
Yeah. So I'll speak to it in two capacities. The first is, even before 2020, there was some really interesting research, again, because this was a trend that was going on before, that a lot of people were starting to equate tech proficiency with leadership competency, which is probably fair, to be honest with you. But what I mean by that is that being the older CEO who's set in his ways and still wants to have phone conversations. And you know, I worked as a full-time business school professor for 10 years, and our oldest tenured faculty member, if you emailed him, the department secretary actually received the email and she would print it out, and then he would handwrite a response on the bottom of the printout and then give it back to her, and she would type it out and send the email back, right? Like, we used to put up with those things. We don't anymore. And if you're not at least tech savvy enough to know when you're on mute and when you're not, that might have a pretty good effect on people's respect for your authority or perception of your competency. So that might be the new version of walking in the room. The other thing that's happening is that there are a lot of leaders who had a sense of authority but never really saw their job as to get other people what they need to do their best work. Like, even before the pandemic, one of my most common things I would say in speeches or interviews, or just when I would have to go on a Twitter rant or something like that, was that people don't work for you. People work with you. And that's never been more true now, because your job, if you're in a senior leadership role, is to help all of those people who are trying to figure out how to make this work, help them figure out what they need to do their best work. And that becomes even more important when you're not there every day, when your people are working in a lot of different contexts and different technologies. Your job as that becomes even more important. So I wouldn't say that has to do with our sense of authority, but I think it should speak to a lot of leaders on what they need to be doing with their authority.
So let's talk about that. Let's speak to the leaders for a minute. What are some things that leaders need to be very cognizant of right now? Some things that they could easily get wrong that it's important that they get right.
Yeah. So I think one of the big ones is, a lot of, it's still 9 months into this, we've never really had a conversation about how we prefer to work in all of those intangible settings. So I encourage a lot of leaders, take your close circle team and draft a team working agreement, or I like to think of it sometimes as a declaration of interdependence, right? But it's a realization that we're working alone together, and we need to have the conversation about what communication should happen via email. What are the reasons to call a synchronous meeting, meaning like a Zoom call or a Microsoft Teams call? How do we want to respond to feedback? How do we want to keep each other updated on our projects? I mean, one of the craziest things that happens for leaders at any level is a team goes remote either by choice or by, you know, force through a pandemic, And suddenly, instead of it being a team, it's actually a series of 12 or, you know, 10 or 12 individual relationships between a supervisor and a subordinate. And the team like magically forgets how to ask other members of the team for help. So they always think they have to go to you, and then you tell them who to go to, and then they can talk about it. So developing that system where people can work out loud and keep everybody in on the team up to date the way they would if they were all sharing the same table in a open office or the same sort of neighborhood on a floor of a more closed office, that sort of stuff, no one really thought about how to replace. Some companies might have been using project management software, but if you've ever done that, that can kind of turn into email overload and that sort of thing. So a team working agreement would be the biggest one. And then the other one would be to find a way that works for your team to create unstructured time for them to chat. That doesn't mean you have to plan Zoom happy hours. I think we all have hangovers from the Zoom happy hours. But it may mean that you be deliberate about leaving the line open for 10 or 15 minutes afterwards. Or it may mean being deliberate about having a more maybe once a month kind of ritualistic shared meal where, hey, on this day, we're all going to get together. And yeah, we're having lunch from our offices, but we'll all have it together and we can have that chat. Building those spaces of unstructured time that used to happen in the hallway or on the walk in from the parking lot into the office, those sort of things, those didn't get replaced properly when we move to virtual. And so those, we need to build space for those as well.
So one of the things that's interesting to me about, specifically about online work, you know, where we basically sit in virtual meetings all day, is that, you know, normally within a meeting, there's a bit of a transaction cost because, you know, you have to sort of go to the meeting. You have to sit in the room. Usually there's a little bit of get to know you at the beginning of the meeting kind of thing, or let's talk about what's going on in our worlds, or, you know, the little sort of camaraderie stuff. And then we do the meeting and then we leave. Everything online feels transactional. You know, it's a transaction. It's like, okay, boom, I'm instantly with you. And then as soon as I'm done with you, boom, I'm gone. And then I'm back in my own world. And who knows what you're doing? Like, we're just, you know. So I would love to hear your thoughts about how to run effective meetings. Because this applies to, you know, even to freelancers who are having meetings with prospective clients, right? Or teams that are having meetings about a project, or a leader who's having a meeting about an initiative and setting vision for the next, you know, 90 days or whatever. What are some principles we should follow when we're running online virtual meetings?
Yeah. So, you know, that idea of leaving the line open before or after speaks to some of that. So this is a great transition. And that would probably be one of my first ones, is if the meeting's supposed to start at 10, you should be there a little early and you should plan to be there a little late. Instead of, I mean, my least favorite thing, right, is the meeting starts at 10 and at 10:01, 10:02 and 10:03, you tell people, we're just going to wait a little bit longer until everybody can jump on, right? Like, right. Okay. Or as a team over time, you could build the habit that everybody comes in a little bit early, chit chats, and then we start at 10. Right. The second thing I would say is going back to that idea of tech proficiency and leadership competency, it may be a good idea, depending on you, to actually, it's almost always a good idea to appoint two hosts, right? You're running the meeting. You're the content host, if you will. Let somebody else be the tech host. Let them be the one in charge of making sure people are on or off mute, or letting people come in from the waiting room, or watching everybody's reactions. This is actually I think a big one that gets lost. When you were leading an in-person meeting, it was easier to read the room, right? We all sort of evolved socially to be able to gauge a room and a reaction when we say something. That doesn't really happen when we've got that little Brady Bunch grid of faces. And we're trying to deliver the same content we were delivering in person. So having somebody else there whose job it is to watch when you maybe make that joke that didn't land the way you thought it landed, but the other person, she got to see the actual faces because it was her job to watch the grid, and then she could circle back with you afterwards, right? Those little things can be hugely beneficial. In terms of when to call the meeting and how to structure it, this is the other problem. I mean, you said it right off the bat. Work from home for a lot of people turned into 8 to 5 Zoom meetings, just lots of different ones, right? or we try and replicate the one long meeting we used to have, right? So we used to, you know, have a 2-hour weekly or monthly all hands meeting, and we'd cover a range of different topics. And of course, only about half the people ever needed to be there for any given topic, because we were in person, we just were all there. Well, we don't have to do that anymore. How about one meeting per topic, right? And that might mean you as the leader are in a meeting all day on Monday, but it's actually with 2 or 3 members of your team at different times based on the purpose of the meeting. That not only lets you stay focused and have a shorter meeting where Zoom fatigue doesn't sit in, it also lets people who don't need to be a part of that opt out and work on something more productive. So that'd be probably my big three, right? Open it and close it a little bit earlier than the normal scheduled time. Have a tech host, someone else who can monitor all that stuff so you can focus on the content and on facilitation. And then one meeting, if you will, one digital meeting per purpose or per topic so that you're not wasting a ton of people's time. Because the transactional cost, by the way, are still there, right? The cost of a 1 hour meeting is not an hour. If you have a team of nine, it's 9 hours. Spend those 9 hours wisely.
Right. Yeah, we often don't do that. And I sort of joke sometimes when I'm, you know, presenting, I'm sure you do as well, when I'm presenting to a group of several hundred people of a company, I'm just thinking, okay, you think you're paying me X dollars to present to your team, but you recognize that you're investing the hourly wage times however many people are in this room, right? In this meeting right now. So that's a tremendous amount of pressure to deliver value. And I think it's always really wise for managers to think about that when calling a meeting. Just what is the real cost of this meeting to the organization as a whole?
Yeah. And it's something that was easier to not pay attention to in a co-located environment because everyone had to be there Monday through Friday from 9 to 5 anyway. So what's the big deal if 2 hours? Now, especially this long into this great work from home experiment where most people have rebuilt their calendar into something that works for them but doesn't look like 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Now, every time you send that meeting invite, every person who receives it sees it as a higher cost that they're being asked to spend than if they were just being in an office. So does it really matter? Yeah, I know I'm being distracted by going to this meeting, but you know, I already had to be there. I will say this is the last thing to a lot of leaders looking to run a good virtual meeting, which is also, it's different. There's a learning curve and give yourself some grace, right? When this whole thing started, a lot of people were like, I don't know how we do this. Virtual meetings don't work. Most in-person meetings didn't work either, right? So the fact that you have to take some time to learn and develop that learning curve is fine, right? It's different. It's difficult. Give yourself a little bit of grace on that and know that the bar you have to clear is the old meeting that everybody hated to go to anyway.
Hey, we're going to dive right back into the conversation with David Berkus in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know this episode is also sponsored by Indeed. So if you're using anything other than Indeed for your hiring, you're wasting your time. Hire great people faster with Indeed. Only pay for results and get back time in your schedule. So Indeed.com is the hiring site that helps you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match. So you can do the part you really need faster, meeting and hiring great people. Unlike some hiring sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility, delivering a quality shortlist faster. And with Indeed, there are no long-term contracts. You can pause your account at any time and you only pay for what you need. Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. With Instant Match, you see a list of great candidates with zero wait. And Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. So you want your quality shortlist fast? You need Indeed. Right now, our listeners can get a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/creative. That's Indeed's best offer available anywhere. So get a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/creative. Indeed.com/creative. Offer valid through March 31st. Terms and conditions apply. And we thank Indeed for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. And now back to our interview with David Berkus.
So you mentioned giving yourself grace, and one of the themes that I've also been sharing with people throughout this time is, you know, we need to extend a bit of grace to the people on our teams as well, because they're all dealing with different circumstances. You know, the workplace is kind of like the great equalizer. We all come to the same workplace. And in some ways, even though we come from different backgrounds and different locations, different places, different situations, when we're in the workplace, everything is pretty much equal because we have equal access to resources and we're all in the same building and all that stuff. Now, everybody's situation is different. And so you have maybe one person who is, you know, remote working from their beach chateau, you know, in Florida or something with, you know, tons
totally
of space.
Totally alone because they have adult children. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then you have other people who are in like a 2-bedroom apartment with, you know, 3 kids tugging at their legs and, you know, multiple people working from home. And it can be just like a really crazy situation. So how do we as leaders adapt to this current situation and make sure that we are extending the kind of grace necessary to allow people to do the work that they need to do on the terms that they need to do it?
Yeah. And, you know, that really speaks to what we were talking about before on shared understanding. And do I even have it? A lot of people didn't take the time to do something like a team working agreement. Or the other thing I love to tell leaders is maybe you do everybody all at once and maybe you do one person sort of per meeting, but have people give a virtual tour of their office, right? Grab the webcam, show it around the space that they're working in, not only to share the context that they're working in. So you get the idea of who has their own private space in their chateau on the beaches of Naples and who has the Home Depot folding screen in their dining room, right? But maybe the person with the Home Depot folding screen has a tip for staying focused that you learn in that as well. So I think that virtual tour idea can be a big one. I also, you know, I encourage people to share calendars, not in the way we used to. The way we used to share calendars meant anybody could claim a time on mine. What I mean is that as people have figured out the rhythm that works from them, make sure that they're public about it so that we know when off hours are and we're not interrupting those people. Most of the time, you know, grace starts from a place of awareness. And I think a lot of people, even 9 months in, haven't taken the time to develop that awareness. They're still operating from that mentality that you used to be here from 9 to 5, so you need to be responsive from 9 to 5. And that just doesn't work for most people. And by the way, you're not going to convince most of those people to go back to 9 to 5, so even when there is an office. So it now's the time to be learning what calendar works best for your people and then making the adaptations on a team so that they don't feel a stigma from having a little bit more flexible, a little bit more integrated schedule than other people.
I love that. That's great. David Berkus is the author of Leading From Anywhere. This is an indispensable guide for anyone who's leading a team right now. From anywhere, I should say, wherever you are. David, if people want to come learn more about you and your work, where can they go?
Yeah. So, I mean, the single best place for fans of this podcast is the show notes, because you already know how to get to them and Todd wants you to go to them anyway. But if you're driving or whatever, and you don't want to pick up your phone and double tap that cover art, davidberkus.com is a great place to BURKUS.com. I'm lucky. I have a really unique name. Unlike Todd Henry, I have a really unique name. So all the domains were still open. Although you actually do have toddhenry.com. So
.com, .net, .org. I think I've got them all. Yeah.
If there were a dot everything, I'd own it too.
That's great. Well, David, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us, and thanks for writing this book. It's so helpful right now.
Man, thank you so much for having me.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.